Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, June 1st. Happy June, everybody, and happy finals. I've got Miles here today. We're going to talk about everything that went down in last night's game, one of the strangest games I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of games. It was weird. It was just really weird, so we're going to talk about it. You can get this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Google Play, Spotify, and LockedOnWarriors.com. As well as LockedOnSports.com, you can find us on Facebook at LockedOnDubs and LockedOnNBAnet. You can find me on Twitter at Kogitare, Kogitare, or at LockedOnDubs. I tweet from both accounts. My media can be found on Forbes.com. I've also written for BleacherReport.com. You can also find all of my credentials at LinkedIn, A-L-I-K-O Carter. Now let's get right into it. Miles, what was the strangest thing that you saw about tonight's game? Last night's game. You were talking to me about how the ending wasn't even that strange. So what was that moment that really caught your eye in terms of weird factor?
Oh, I mean, I just think that for me, it was more odd that the game was that close to begin with than that J.R. Smith maybe wasn't the most aware at the end of the game or that George Hill missed a free throw. Right, like, I don't remember what they were favorited as going into this game, but they were double-digit favorites going in. I think the line was around 12 or 13, which, again, this would have been the lowest that they entered game one of the finals as favorites in their little four-year run
right here
so far, right? And they were still double-digit favorites, right? This is with a Kevin Love that, I mean, I think it's obvious. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I think it's obvious that dude is still very much concussed. I don't know what playing with concussion-like symptoms means other than you're playing with a concussion, right? Like, and if you listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones, he talked about this a little bit last week. Like, you know, in sports like baseball, like, guys miss months for a concussion, right? Yeah. They can miss months at a time. You get put on the 60-day DL for that, like, in, you know, basketball, and perhaps this is, you know, a consequence of, like, us being warped by the NFL, but, like, just to return back to, you know, these high-contact sports at the highest stage in the game, in the NBA Finals, like, with a concussion, right?
Yeah, he took a hard hit, too. Well, I mean, looking at that hit, you know, I would have definitely been out for a minute.
Yeah, and, you know, you brought up the good point that a lot of that scoring came in overtime, but if you tell me that you get combined 79 from Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson, and that they still need overtime to beat a Cavs team where the second best player is a concussed Kevin Love, like, that's a little surprising to me. But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I know a lot is going to be made of the last, you know, 30 seconds, and even more is going to be made of the JR play. I think that's going to now, like, go down just as infamously as anything else that's happened in Cleveland in the last, like, three or four years. But that's not why the game ended up the way that it did.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no, I agree.
If George Hill makes that free throw, we're probably sitting up talking today about how was it possible that LeBron was able to do that?
Yeah.
Right? How is it possible that he really poured in?
Well, I give the Warriors a chance with 4.7 seconds left and one timeout. But
And one timeout, right. But, like, realistically,
it's probably a loss.
It's probably a loss, yeah. Right? You have the ball with 5 seconds left. And, yeah, this is a great team, but that's game one coming down to one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen not even, you know, as recently as, like, what, game five? Right? Game five of the Rocket series? Like, mm-hmm. Y'all have had the ball with the game on the line.
And it was not good.
It has not gone great.
No.
Right?
No.
And I want to
talk about Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant, well, one, I want to point out that the Warriors only got 32 points from Kevon Looney plus the bench. So that's a huge reason why. Obviously, I don't think they outplayed the Cavs bench. The Cavs bench wasn't very good. Did they outscore the Cavs bench? No, not even close. I mean the Cavs aren't even close.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, nobody outside of J.R., Love, and LeBron was in double figures.
Right. You got 7 from George Hill, 7 from Jeff Green, 9 from Larry Nance. That's it. It's nothing. I mean, there's, you know, people with 2, 3, 4.
What, did Korver make, what, one basket?
One basket. He shot 3 times. He only got 3 shots. I guess give the Warriors credit for keeping it, but he, you know, he only played 16 minutes, which is actually under his, I think, average for the playoffs.
I guess, but he played one fewer minute than Jordan Clarkson, who jacked up 9 shots.
Truth.
Who was awful last night.
He was awful, despite being a +8. But I want to talk about Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Because Kevin Durant, as you've pointed out in our conversations, hasn't looked good since nearly the beginning of the Rockets series. His shot is off. He went 1 of 7 from 3 last night, just kind of chucking them outside of the flow of the offense, it felt to me. 8 of 22 from the field for his 26 points. And his defense has been lackluster to a certain degree. A lot of missed assignments, a lot of missed rotations. You pointed them out to me. Like, it's really easy to not see that as a Dubs fan and as someone who's looking more intently at Draymond's defense. And, you know, as I tend to do, just watching Draymond move around and bark and everything like that, so fantastic. But watching these highlights, watching them closely, he's not looking good, he being Kevin Durant. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like, what you're considering good, right? Like, there's a lot of people that are going to go 26, 9, and 6, which is what his line was last night, in a win in the finals is a good game.
And for a lot of people, a +17, highest on the team.
For a lot of people, that's a great game. I'm just saying that for someone who we continue to, you know, compare to LeBron James, and, like, that's it, right? Those two are, like, the two best players, like, on the planet. Going 8 for 22, right, is not great. Going 1 for 7 from 3 is kind of worse, right?
Yeah. Like 26 points on 22 shots, not good.
Yeah, and so that's just offense, right? And even then, like, Kevin Durant is going to give you 25 points just walking in the gym.
Yep.
It's going to happen, right? So I think part of it, too, is not even, you know, necessarily, you know, being insulated and being a Dubs fan, but even in, and they were talking about this a little bit on the pregame before game one started, is it even, like, when you are just talking about, like, who's going to win finals MVP, right? Like, some of the things that Durant does on the floor are going to be a little harder to overlook because he is 7 feet tall doing things that, like, it's kind of remarkable that he's even able to move, like, without a basketball the way that he does, and he's that large, right?
So especially with his gross ass feet.
So the fact that he can, like, handle like a guard, he's got incredible speed, he can shoot from basically anywhere inside of 40 feet, like, it's going to be harder to miss that guy doing things than Steph, who, like, yes, has range that we have never seen before, but just in terms of, like, what a basketball player looks like, we have more of an understanding. We have more of, you know, there is a sort of point of reference for Steph that does not exist for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, right? When Steph gets beat, you notice it.
And it's not even when he gets beat. Like, when he has great games, right, you're like, wow, this is really incredible. Mm-hmm. But, like, somebody could just as easily go, like, I remember when World Be Free used to do that. I remember when Steve Nash used to, I remember when Pistol Pete used to do that. Like, there are, and those are, like, all, like, different, you know, size players, with World Be Free and Pete Maravich being much larger than guys like Nash and Curry. But there are guys who we've seen as, like, smaller guards or, like, kind of combo forwards, like, really fill it up. We have not seen anybody who's, like, legitimately 7'1" that, like, plays like Kevin Durant. So there are things that he does on the floor, even when he's not that great, that are, to me, are going to be a little harder to miss. Like, that being said, yo, your boy has been bad, like, the last two series, right? Game one of the Rockets series, he was legitimately good, right? And empowered them to that road win in game one. If you set aside, like, again, the fact that he's going to get you a certain number of points just because he's that offensively talented, and you, like, really get into the nitty-gritty, and I think that's what is required if you are going to talk about him as being, like, if not the best player in the world, then the second best. His switches on defense have been just awful.
Mm.
Why couldn't he stay in front of Eric Gordon, like, the last three games of last series?
Yeah.
He's Eric Gordon, right? Like, and he's okay. Like, he's nice, but you're...
And the Warriors got lucky that Eric Gordon just missed shots.
That shouldn't happen. There's a couple of times in the clips that we just watched before we came on. Missing switches on JR. The last rebound. The whole reason that people are even mad at JR, right? Who missed that block out on the free throw line?
It was Kevin Durant.
It was Kevin Durant.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to continue talking about Durant and then get to that controversial block charge call. All right, we're back. Yeah, Durant has been weird He's been, he just doesn't seem himself. You brought up an interesting point the other day that the Warriors don't seem to have figured out how to fully integrate Durant into the offense. Now, is that the Warriors and the coaching staff failing to design a system? They're leaning on Durant so much for one-on-one play, or is it Durant just refusing to move without the ball and like just needing the ball in his hands? Either way, I don't think it's good for the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and you'll hear Kerr say stuff like, you know, getting Durant in the ISO, especially if you've hunted for a mismatch on the switch, like, that's a good option. And he's right, it is a good option, right? It's just not as good of an option as what they were doing in 2015 and the majority of 2016 until Draymond got suspended in Game 5 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
This team, like, when they move the ball, like, for real, like, the way they did in even in Game 7 of the Rockets series, like, there is no guarding them, right? There are too many weapons that it would require the other team to play, like, six or seven guys at a time to really cover everybody. Because you're going to have to, if the ball is really moving, you would have to essentially double Durant. And maybe double step too. Sure. That's four of your guys, right? And you still got to worry about Klay Thompson, right? And I guess you give up whatever you're going to give up from Draymond, which is what we've seen teams do. We've seen teams essentially just, you know, leave him unless he's charging the lane.
Mm-hmm.
They make him a jump shooter, turn him into a scorer. But, you know, it makes things infinitely easier for defenses when you slow the game down.
And it's true.
Weird because we've seen the Cavs have success with Warriors teams slowing the pace down.
They have. They definitely have. They're not going to do that this year. Ty Lue is completely committed to playing faster. And LeBron is going to be amazing. I mean, 51 points. I do want to get to him at some point
but
as well.
But I think you can still play fast and to use Ty Lue's own words, I think you can still play fast and goon it up, right? And I think it's not so much like, oh, we are... I don't mean to say like... they're going to do what they did in 2015 where they had Mozgov and they really just tried to play essentially like what Wisconsin, like college basketball teams do.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to get like 30 shots a game. It's not going to look like that, but I think if you get into a situation where it really is just like make Durant take bad shots, let the Warriors like take 5 to 7 seconds to get into their offense and like make Durant take contested mid-range jump shots, like, I still think it's going to be an uphill battle for the Cavs, but I think that gives them a shot to make things interesting, right?
Yeah.
This wasn't supposed to be interesting at all,
yeah,
right? This was
true.
Supposed to be,
I, well,
like,
I think that was so overblown,
games.
Though. I just felt like, these
okay,
are two...
But why, though?
These are two very good NBA basketball teams.
They are not, and that's the thing, right? They're not.
The
We've
Cavs.
Been talking about it all year.
Yes.
Right? They were last... They were the worst defensive team up until, like, March.
Yes.
These aren't two very good teams. There are no good players, like, on Cleveland outside of LeBron James, really. Right? And Kevin Love when Kevin Love is healthy, which
yes.
he is not healthy. That's, to me, what blows my mind about last night is it's not even like the Warriors played a bad game. Right? Like, we can sit up here and nitpick all we want on Durant.
Yeah, and
like,
I do want to point out, because we were talking about Durant, and we are nitpicking, 26 assists in regulation, 5 in overtime. That's 31. That's a ton.
For the team.
For the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm watching the game being like, you know, they're not playing even as bad as they were in the Houston series.
Yeah.
Why is this close? And that's
yeah.
what I still, like, we watched highlights. I went back and watched the game a second time. Like, I still can't figure out, other than, like, the fact that LeBron is really just unlike anybody we've ever seen. Like, this
yeah,
game should
like,
not have been close.
Head and shoulders above, like, this season, this postseason, head and shoulders above basically everybody else.
Right, you get three guys in double figures. One of those guys gets 10 points, and the other gets just over 20, gets 21.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have... But you still are in a place where you're shooting a free throw to take a 1-point lead with, like, 4 seconds left against maybe the best team ever.
Yeah.
Right? Why did that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. I do think the bench of the Warriors didn't play as well as I would have liked them to play. Sean Livingston obviously had fantastic minutes in the overtime. But for the most part, the bench wasn't great, even though they're all pluses. Most everybody on the Warriors is a plus.
And what's this
game.
A 9-man rotation for Cleveland? How many guys deep is Kerr going? Do you know?
Kerr is going 8 deep, I think. Though Pat McCaw, David West, got, you know, 3 and 4 minutes apiece. JaVale McGee started the second half, got 6 minutes. But for the most part, it's the core four, Bell, Nick Young, and Sean Livingston. And okay. So that's basically, and Looney, of course. So that's eight.
Because they've stopped playing Hood.
Yeah, like, they're not playing Hood is not going to get any time.
They're not playing Calderon. They're not playing Osman, and they're not playing Zizic. And I saw people actually calling, like, what if, maybe we should see some Chetty Osman. Like, yeah. Which, think about that. That people are saying maybe we should get Chetty Osman finals minutes.
Yeah.
These are not two equal teams by any
stretch. No. I'm not saying they're two equal teams.
They're
just saying
very barely even in the same league. Like, for real.
Well, the Cavs are... I mean, the Cavs aren't the... They're not the...
It's the
Magic,
worst.
You know? Like... Like
not the which Magic. I'd much rather have the 09 Magic than this team.
No. I'm talking about the Magic of today.
Oh, of like right now.
You know, like they won what, 49 games, and they have the best player in the world. So they made the finals, and the best player in the world is playing head and shoulders above everybody else in this playoffs so far, and it almost won them the game. So I guess you have to like.
I'd rather have the Magic supporting cast than this one right here.
I agree. Around
LeBron.
I agree.
If I'm being honest.
Aaron Gordon with LeBron? Oh, my God.
Him and Elfrid Payton alone.
Elfrid Payton? Oh, man. Should he go to the Magic? So we know LeBron is gone, by the way.
But I guess that's what my point is, right? It's like yes, I get it that we've talked about it, but I don't feel like we've really hit on the head just how bad the roster around this one guy is. And how this is still competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's absurd.
Yeah.
That the roster around this one guy is that bad. That we're really like, yeah, you know what? I think he might be better off with literally one of the worst teams in the East in the finals. That's absurd. That's absurd that one guy is that good that the games are even still competitive, right?
Yeah.
If you're asking me, like, right now, gun to my head, I'm saying this is, like, over, like, at most Warriors in six, right? Yeah. But the fact that it could even be that competitive.
Yeah. I mean, the Cavs shot 44%, 10 of 37 from three. That's very bad. And they missed 6 free throws.
Two guys had more than 20 points. Two guys. And one of them, again, has a concussion.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, and again, I think this is what you have to talk about. Like, if we are okay with saying, like, you know what? At the end of the day, doesn't really matter. Like, when people look back on this series and LeBron goes on and lose, they're not going to see, like... Like, no one's ever going to be like, okay, he got 50 that one game, and remember when JR just forgot what the score was? Like, that's not what's going to be remembered, right? It's going to be remembered that he lost the whole thing, which is, as you're sitting, like, right now, understand that that is extremely and absurdly unfair.
It's not fair, but right? I do think, like, people do remember, like, oh, that one that he lost last year, he averaged a triple-double in the finals. Like, I remember stuff like that, but I guess, you know, casual fans aren't necessarily going to...
I'm just saying, when we are, like, having these debates... Like, I understand, like, the value in winning a ring, mm-hmm. right? Because that is what everybody in the league is striving toward, right? But understand that, like, everybody's rings are not equal.
Agreed.
Right? Even among, like, the people on the same team, right? Yeah. Like,
that's why I hate the Kobe Bryant argument, because some of those rings are not equal.
Some of those rings belong to Shaquille O'Neal, if we're being really... And we talked about this yesterday. I have no patience for the people that think those first... At least two. I'll maybe give you the third
title. Yeah, sweep of the Nets, yeah.
I will maybe give you that one. But those first two, if you think that those don't belong primarily to Shaquille O'Neal, you and I are watching two different games.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one you were watching because I was watching one on TV.
All right, well, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 seconds. We're back. Continue your thought, man.
All I'm saying is, like, yes... If you talk about rings, right? Jordan has 6, LeBron only has 3. Cool. To me, the best way to, like, counter then arguments from people like me who go, okay, you're ignoring Bill Russell had 11. The best way to counter things like that is to have a more, like, nuanced and, like, inclusive view of, like, what actually really happened here. And I say all that to say that even if LeBron loses this series, which I think he is going to, this is one of the most remarkable things I have ever seen in any sport.
No,
ever,
I agree.
Right? And there is nobody else that I have seen or researched or read about who could have done what he's done just now. And if he had won that game, it would have been tantamount, honestly, to another really infamous game one which would have been the 2001 game one where Iverson beat another super team literally by himself. That honestly, that might be the only roster that you could compare this to in terms of there being just
absolutely Aaron McKee, sixth man of the year.
And Dikembe Mutombo.
It did have Dikembe Mutombo.
So look at me also proving myself
past his prime. Dikembe Mutombo.
And still, if you're going to get 2 points and 5 rebounds from Tristan Thompson, would you rather have a past his prime Dikembe, or would you rather have Tristan Thompson from last night?
That's fair.
And answer that however you want to. That's fair. Some people might say Tristan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. My point is the fact that that's even close, right? We talked about how bad that 0-1 Sixers surrounding supporting cast was, right? Yeah. This, when you're doing whatever, you know, go conversation in the barbershop or whatever, evaluating like LeBron next to Jordan, like remember that we have documented evidence that without help, without Scottie, Mike could never beat Boston in Boston. We just saw last week somebody
that got his ass handed to him by Detroit.
We just saw somebody that did that. There is no way when you are laying in bed at night and it's just you and the guy that you believe in with all the lights off, you know deep down in your heart that there is no way that Michael Jordan would have done that. There is just no way that Michael Jordan could have carried a team with J.R. Smith and a 35-year-old Kevin
Kyle
Love,
Korver.
Kyle Korver to the NBA Finals. There's just no way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we just need to have some more, like,
Some real conversations.
What greatness really looks like. Because even, you know, let's start listening to people who have rings, right? Darko Milicic just got a ring. That doesn't mean he's better than Charles
JaVale
Barkley.
McGee, NBA champion. All right, let's move on to this block charge call. Because this was definitely a turning point late in the game that I thought it was a block. You know, and I was really, like, and the way that the referee, I can't remember what his name is, the one with the slick back hair, the way that he called it, it's almost like he wasn't even sure. He went, and then called it. And, like, it was just a weird sequence. And then they go to the replay because they want to make sure that LeBron wasn't in the restricted area, which he clearly wasn't.
Right.
Like, clearly. Clearly wasn't. Shouldn't have been a replay. They called the charge. They should have just kept going. That would have been what a normal situation would have been. But it was a blocking foul, and they got the call right the second time. And I don't have time for people who say that was a charge. I'm sorry. That was a blocking foul. I know they changed the rule 2 years ago, but he was moving into Durant.
Yo, to be fair, like, not for nothing, the block charge, that call is one of, like, in any sport, like, one of the more vague,
yeah, bang, like, bang
rules, right? Yeah. It's right up there with, like, what is a catch in football, or
like you said, PI.
Right. It is very, some things are blocks that look like charges, some are charges that look like blocks. Like, it's really tough, and it is, for most of us, literally impossible to do it in real time, right? It's hard for most of us, even when the replay is slowed down to however many frames per second.
Yeah, no, I was a referee when I was in college doing intramural games and club games, and I missed my fair share of block charge calls.
Yeah, it's a tough, like, rule to see and then get right. I also think that it was a block, but I think more than anything else, like, there needs to either be, like, way more transparency around, like, and when I say transparency, I mean, like, from the league, like, to fans, about, like, here are the instances in which, like, a play can, like, be reviewed and overturned, right? Because if you go, like, to the monitor to see whether he was in the restricted zone, and then you say, okay, he's not in the restricted zone, I would think, to me and to maybe lots of other people, that means, okay, so it was a charge.
It was a charge.
But then if you say, no, but while we were reviewing that, we also saw some other information that we could incorporate as to why it's a block, then it's like, okay, you're just kind of going back and relitigating what just happened. And exactly. I can understand people being upset about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, to me, does not change the fact that it was a block, right? And yes, you can be moving now and it still be a charge. I do not think LeBron had gotten to his spot, even if he was moving an established defensive position. I don't think he had established a legal defensive position by the time that Durant had both left the floor and put the ball up
right
for the shot.
I agree.
I don't think that. But I totally get people being like, you just went back and watched the replay and found something to make this a block. Because
exactly.
What you said you were going back to review is not what you ended up actually
exactly
reviewing.
But one of the refs called a blocking foul.
But, right. When it was two that called the charge and one that called a block, I think, as I recall. And so that is grounds for you to review it.
To come together.
Right, right. But, and so maybe it was an issue where the broadcast interpreted a certain way to fans, and maybe that wasn't what it actually was on the floor, but
yeah, I thought what was Steve Javy talking about? Like, I'm not, like, he's supposed to be, like, the guy. And I gotta go see what Ronnie Nunn has to say about this. Really smart guy, really smart referee. I've been watching some videos of him on B-Ball Breakdown. But I thought Javy was just wrong. You know, I
don't remember what he said. I just
he said it was probably they made the right call initially that it was a charge because LeBron, before the ball is like gathered, LeBron is like kind of there. I think it's kind of like what his explanation was. I don't agree with it either.
Those words make sense to me, but I don't necessarily agree with it. Yeah. I think he was, again, he never stopped moving, right? Yeah. So you have to at the very minimum say, okay, he had to have, while moving, established legal defensive position before Durant gathered the ball. And I think it's close, but I don't think he did.
Yeah.
I think it's a call that maybe you, or not maybe you can't change, because you can't change. The rule allows you to change it. But I understand fans being upset that they went, especially at such a pivotal, right? Because if Cleveland has the ball, they're up two with 37 seconds left. Like, the same thing with the Golden State having the ball with, you know, 4 seconds left hand and put it. It's not, nothing's a given, but it's a really good chance that with the way that LeBron had been playing up until that point that Cleveland holds on. So I get people, you know, kind of feeling cheated. I'm still not sure that is why the game ended up the way that it did, right? Like,
yeah, it was a weird game.
I think, again, the fact that you just, LeBron James is what, the sixth person to put up 50 in an NBA Finals game.
Yes, and the only one to lose.
Only one to lose. I don't think you can really pin that on, okay, there was a missed call here, and JR did some very routine JR stuff here. Like, you know, that is, to me, way more indicative of the fact that, like, Kyle Korver put up 3 shots.
Yeah. Making 1-3 big
points. Guys had more than 20 points.
Mm-hmm. And nobody had more than 11 except for those two guys.
Yeah. Because JR, the only other guy that was in double figures, had 10 even.
And 10 points, you can call it double figures, but it's like fake double figures.
It's what, 5 baskets, so it's like what, 1 basket a quarter?
If he's making threes or, you know, like.
I'm saying just 4 baskets. Just with twos, it's 5 baskets, which is just over a basket a quarter. Like,
He went 3 of 10 and 2 of 6 from 3 and made 2 free throws.
Your best player shouldn't put up, you know, 50 points and y'all still lose.
Unless your supporting cast is that shitty, which we were.
I'm saying, like, you should not be put in a situation where you have to put up 50 and you still lose.
No, I totally feel you on everything you just said, and especially the bit about, like, Michael carrying a team to the finals that was that bad. Probably couldn't do it.
We have the evidence that says he couldn't, right? Like, we can go back and just look at the rosters, right? They were all bad, and he couldn't make it out of the East.
Yeah.
They got Scottie, and then they went to the finals, and they won it every year that they got there.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not that, right? It's not rocket science, and that to me is kind of what is weird. Like, we're willing to be like, oh, you know, like, look how much help LeBron, like, had in Miami, and, like, as a way to, like, detract from the championship that they won there, right?
Yeah.
The championships, excuse me, that they won there, right? Like, why aren't we just as willing to say, like,
this? Look at how much help Kobe had, or look at how much
help. Or look at much how much help he does not have here.
Yeah.
This is, right, like, this isn't just like, oh, like even that Magic team in 09 that I thought you meant at first. That was a team going up against the Lakers that even then people were like, okay, I mean, I guess they got Dwight, but, like, they're okay.
Yeah.
That team is, like,
head and shoulders above this one.
This supporting cast makes the Magic look like, I don't know, like the 85 Celtics.
Yeah, no, you're...
It's not even close.
You're absolutely right.
This supporting cast is historically bad.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the last 3 years he had Kyrie. You know, Kyrie's not there. And
still make the...
The closest facsimile would be in the finals, 2015. When he lost Kyrie in game one, didn't have Kevin Love, and still managed to push it to 6.
Right. Like, and I think we might see something really similar
to this. And this team is worse. Still has Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith is 4 years older and no years wiser. And there's nobody else on this team. But anyway, we have to draw to a close because this has gotten out of hand a little bit.
Do you have a prediction for game two? Do you do that on the show?
I'm not going to predict. I'm just going to watch. I'm really looking forward to the game. I hope you all are too. And we're going to recap that game on Monday. Thank you, Miles, for joining us.
Of course.
And stay thoughtful, Hoops heads.